Well, I now have the Southwest editor on the line, Jamila Dawson, to chat about everything that is going to be coming out in this week's Busselton Dunsborough Mail. First thing that you guys are covering that I think a lot of people want to talk about, and that is how bad the traffic was.
Yeah, that's right. So every long weekend, this seems to happen where the cars just get banked up along Bustle Highway in between, mainly between Busselton and Bunbury. And we just have our local member, Libby Messam, calling on the state government to do something to fix this situation.
That's exactly it. If you want to promote Southwest tourism, you really need to be able to allocate it for the Southwest tourists.
Yeah, that's right. So our paper will have a response from the state government, so make sure you have a read to see what they have to say.
Excellent. And also a sculpture coming to Busselton as well from Perth.
Yeah, that's right. So the winner of the Cottesloe Sculpture by the Sea competition is on its way down to Busselton to be permanently placed here, I believe.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, so over the weekend, Dunsborough had their Sculpture by the Sea competition, which went really well, and so we've just got photos galore of that event.
That sounds good. I'll make sure to pick up a copy of that one. And in sport, what happened?
So over the weekend, we had this competition called the Super Foilers Grand Prix, and I had actually never heard of this before until it arrived, but it was really impressive catamarans that just go really fast on the water. So we've got some really cool photos of that as well.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like everyone can read up and check out all those pictures in the Busselton Dunsborough Mail. Thanks for the chat today.
Thank you.
This definitely worth talking about in the Southwestern Times. An alcohol drug plan looks like it's on the table for the city of Bunbury as they're looking to take a next step in combating alcohol drug use right across the city this week and considering a management plan. Now, a few target areas they're going to be focusing on is the lack of awareness on services available and how to access them, the lack of awareness on the impact and harm caused by alcohol in Bunbury, and also the lack of awareness of harm and caused by methamphetamine, cannabis and drug use in the city. Just words at the moment, but we all know it's a massive issue here in Bunbury and the Southwest as well. It starts here, it stems off into the other little towns as well. And I think it's good that something is going to be done about it.
That at least those three key areas are being spoken about in the first instance.
I'm curious what the tactic is. Is the tactic going to be just putting more signs up above urinals that say don't do drugs? Is it going to be more of an educational way where we're sitting there and we're, you know, getting into classrooms? Or I don't know what the strategy is at this point. I imagine that's what this management meeting is all about.
Yep.
What do you think, Aaron?
I'm not sure, mate, but I would agree that it's going to have to be a multifaceted approach.
Okay, yeah.
You know, not just your signs and urinals and not just educating 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds, because that's not just exclusively that subset of people who, you know, suffer the pitfalls and the downward spiral that can be drugs and alcohol. We need to think about how we rehab people in their 30s and 40s and 50s. What if you lose a job and you're down on your luck and, you know, momentum, just one thing leads to another? How do we rehab those people? You know,
yeah.
So definitely, it has to be education based, and it has to be a battle fought on multiple playing fields.
Yeah. Do we need to see more stories from people that have used in the past and you know, now reformed?
That's a good point, Al. And because you take advice and you take counsel from people who have been down that particular road, don't you? It's always as opposed to, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You'd rather hear from someone who's walked a mile in those particular shoes. So that's actually quite a good point.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Well, quite often we look for inspiration by some guy that's climbed a mountain that we're never going to climb. Yep. But the most inspiring stories I've noticed are normally the ones that are most relatable. And I imagine there's a lot of people in the Southwest that have had a dependency issue at some point, whether it's to alcohol or any drug. And I'm sure that they're, you know, they've gotten over it and they're doing what they can. And I'm sure they're the stories that we'd like to hear as well. I don't know whether this is a TV advertising campaign, a radio advertising campaign, newspapers or urinals, like I said, signs around town, but at least we know one thing and something is beginning to be done about it and we're talking about it.
Yeah, good call, Al. And we will certainly talk to Gary more about it tomorrow when he comes in and has a chat.
We were just touching on whether you flash your lights when you drive past a speed camera or, say, a police officer there waiting with a speed gun or something. I noticed a lot of it over the long weekend of a lot of the speed cameras, but not a lot of people flashing their lights. Back in the day, I felt like everyone used to do this, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, not quite as common as it used to be.
So 13 27 10, we put the question out there if you'd like to have your comments on this. In the meantime, but we did create a poll on our Facebook page, Triple M Southwest. We had 188 people actually actually have their say on it. Not whether bad. They are, yeah, whether they have, what's their thoughts on it? Warning drivers if they would flash, if they flash their lights to warn them of an upcoming speed camera. 54% of people said yes, they would, with 46% of people saying no, they wouldn't.
Relatively even, though.
Very, very even. Some of the comments worth mentioning as well. One person wrote, no, I flashed them to make them think there's a camera ahead anyway. Hey, that's one way to do it. Yeah. One person wrote, "If I'll do it if I think that it's in a money grab position." So, you know, when, like, say, the speed limit's dropping down and there's a camera there. I agree with that, but Brad, good on you, Brad. I think that's a fair call. You know, it's somewhere like that. Like, when they're on, like, a straight road and it's kind of like, you know, 110 the whole way, somewhere like that.
That particular location could just be blatant revenue raising.
Sometimes, yeah, to be honest. 100%, I think that sometimes. One person wrote, not anymore if they're speeding, then they deserve that fine. Maybe three fines might just wake them up and teach them something.
Yep.
So some good comments on here. Definitely even, but one person wrote, am I the only one that still does this? Flashing the lights? Yeah. So, yeah, it is relatively even. I find that very interesting. I thought it was a dying art, but it appears that it's still even. I haven't seen too many people out there doing it. But
pretty divisive, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all it's all about the particular situation as well.
You asked me whether I would. What about you, mate?
I have in the past, like you. And just like you, I don't do it lately. No, I don't. I just kind of...
What's happened? What's changed? Why don't we do that anymore?
I think it's what you was touching on before, where people are, you know, if I see someone on their phone, I would never warn
so
them.
Much more
I would never
about...
warn someone on their phone. I'm like, you deserve every penalty you're about to cop, mate. And when it comes to speeding, most of the time, because I'm normally doing the limit. So when someone's speeding, they're normally either up my butt while I'm driving, or they look reckless driving the other way. So I'm not going to warn them either. I'm kind of like, nah. You're right. But if it is in a spot where there's one particular spot where it needs to come back from the Great Southern where it would be 110 and it would drop down to 90 and then not even 100 metres up the road would be the camera.
Yep.
And if you're like me, when I get to the 90, I just take my foot off the gas. So it's kind of like I'll get to 90. But the camera will get you before then. So then maybe I would flash my camera with that particular spot. But majority of the time, no, I wouldn't. Dave Warner seems to be in the news quite a bit lately. What is going on, Aaron?
A bit of a on and off field stoush.
Okay,
with South Africans Quinton de Kock, as we've been hearing about in the news all morning. Both of them have been charged with bringing cricket into disrepute, mate. Have you seen the footage of the staircase stoush?
Oh, it's still over that. Okay, so because they got right, they were like right into it.
Absolutely right into it. Have you heard what David Warner is alleging?
No, go on.
Alleging that Quinton de Kock said, we're not sure exactly what he said, but something regarding his wife, Candace Warner, former Iron Woman. And
he mentioned, okay, yeah.
Yeah. We don't have the exact quote, obviously, but he's got very personal, so the allegation...
Talking about his wife.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
South Africans are obviously saying that that Quinton de Kock was baited in the first instance, and now, both of them are on charges. So why this is still, why we're still talking about it is because potentially he could miss the second test.
Because no one got hit in that scuffle, did they?
No one got hit. But there's not meant to be any physicality at all in the sport of cricket.
Cricket does strike me as a non-contact.
Let alone off the field in the staircase after you've come off the field. So, we find out hopefully we find out today whether or not Australia accept the verdict, which has been handed down. So he could yet be banned from the second chapter of this four-test series, depending on how many demerit points are added to his record.
Oh, okay. It's like driving.
Yeah, it is a bit like driving. Getting this straight from an article on thewest.com, the most likely outcome is a heavy fine and 3 demerit points. That would mean Warner is essentially on a final warning, as any more demerit points within the next 2 years, even for a minor indiscretion, would automatically trigger a suspension. So even if he doesn't end up being suspended for Friday's second test, he's still basically on his final warning.
Like very thin ice.
Very thin
What's ice. The kind of things you'd be suspended for?
Not quite sure. If you can get away with having a bit of biff and having a bit of an argument in the stairwell.
Well, he hasn't gotten away with it, appears.
Yeah, no.
Well, we will keep people informed here at Triple M.
Because we need him to play that second test, to be frank.
Well, that's what it sounds like. But, you don't go insulting another man's missus either.
No, you don't.
That's a surefire way to get in a bit of trouble. But, of course, full details will triplem.com.au as we do learn more and in the news as well. But, very, very interesting.
Sounds of the Southwest. Triple M.
Nobody likes the sound of creepy crawlies, but everyone loves this sound for Osmic Pest Control.
Yes, well, we did promise people that we were going to do a bit of a clue. Thank you so much for listening to the catch-up. Aaron with me as well still. Well, what's the clues we've had so far? Let's give them away. We've had us in front of a sign in Donnybrook.
Yep, so we know that it's Donnybrook, and we know that it's, bouncing a footy.
So they're the two obvious ones. That's why when you hear every morning people ringing up going, is it a footy bouncing in Donnybrook? Then they say a random place after that.
Yeah.
That's how they know that first bit. But it's that last bit, the bit that's worth $9,325 at this point, that's got everyone stumped, which makes complete and utter sense. So I thought today what we'd do is give you the last bit of a clue. Now, I'll play a sound for you. This is the clue. This isn't the sound of the Southwest. We already know what the sound of the Southwest is. That's this. But here is the sound that could potentially help you out with this clue. Ready for it? And that's it.
Mate, I had no idea what you were going to do. That's a pretty big clue.
That is a massive clue. If you think you know what it is, 13:27:10 tomorrow morning. And thank you for listening to the catch-up. Good luck.